We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Tuesday. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Del Mendo in our CHGO studios out in the West Loop. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We are right on time. That's right. 120
on time,
just like a Cubs game, on starting on the dot at 120.
Blue Dabs is eating his word right now.
Hey, everybody that's joining on the YouTube channel to watch this live, we appreciate that. Make sure you subscribe and like, and same thing if you're listening to this podcast later on the old school downloads on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a nice review. We appreciate five stars. We appreciate thumbs ups and likes.
Oh, yeah.
And most importantly, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes.
And if I keep saying like too much, for sure, feel free to keep telling me.
But in this case, we would like a like.
Yes. Hit the like button.
Hit that like button.
We'd like it.
We like it a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
I see of our family and friends are out there. Jack R. is in the building. Brandon's here. Let's see. Mike Dubs. I saw he really had a haul at Cubs convention. Oh, yeah. Mike Dubs posted on social media just a spread of things that he picked up. That's a Cubs fan right there.
We got a Manchester, UK.
I said it yesterday. He's like, Ming he Charger. Might be the biggest Cubs fan I know, if I don't count myself, which
Bleacher
I don't
Jeff?
Like. To.
Bleacher Jeff?
Or Crawley.
Yeah. Or Crawley. Yeah. I mean,
it's hard to be Crawley.
But do they have
it's
the, hard do they to have be the Crawley.
Do you
want to
be Crawley, though? Like, that's... No, and no offense.
He's a
nice guy. I love
hey, look, Rachel's
nice
here.
Guy, but
Rachel's here. We had another UK.
Rachel,
Mark, what's up, Rachel? Mank Charger, Mank Charger.
Jack R is slandering Illinois in the chat yep. right now. Tough scene for broke. You know. Indiana's looked real bad. I'm just saying. Right, Illinois won four in a row. I don't know, man.
Do we look different? That we got new lighting.
Yeah.
In the studio. We've
feel
got
a little bright.
Yeah. It's brighter. It's brighter. We look. The people wanted to see us better is what we were told. You know, that was just like a review going around the world. Is they wanted to see us better. They wanted to see our vibes up close and in HD.
The world deserved to see our vibes
so
up close.
So we got
in
new
HD.
Lights.
The best vibes.
We're still talking about Cubs convention, kind of unpeeling the layers of what happened at first Cubs convention in a couple years. You know, if you look at the headline of this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about leadership because I think while a lot of people are happy that the Cubs finally did the right thing, moved on from Jason Hayward, they're eating the money. All the crying about Jason Hayward can now be over. Everybody, I think most people appreciate who he is and what he's done for this city, the speech, all of those things. But there's a leadership void because he was clearly one of the last big pieces from that championship team that had a voice. And I think pitchers, catchers, position players, even coaches listened to Jason Hayward. He had that respect in the clubhouse. He has that respect around the league. So now you wonder, well, A, how important is leadership on a baseball team? Well, it's not as important as talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's set that aside. Leadership does have value on a team. Now the question becomes, do you want one leader? Do you want one voice? Can you have a community of voices? Who might that be from this group? Because I think at the end of the World Series era, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the problems. The Cubs didn't have the correct leader that they were looking for. You would see different guys show leadership, but because Hayward wasn't playing well, his voice maybe didn't carry as much as some of the other guys who either A, didn't want to be leaders, or weren't leading the way the Cubs wanted them to lead.
Yeah.
So now I look at a guy like Nico Hoerner and I say, here's a guy who has shown me leadership, which is the way I prefer it, first of all. Like, the vocal leaders are nice, but Nico has shown you leadership by almost winning a gold glove at shortstop, having his best season so far as a pro, breakout season, and he shows you the leadership in, hey, go get us a shortstop. I'll move to second base. Do you think Nico could be that leader, even though there are bigger names and more accomplished names on this team?
Well, it's like how you mentioned Jason Hayward, like as respected and in the locker room as he wasn't the best player on the team at any point in his tenure with the Cubs, but he was highly respected. I mean, yeah, he was getting paid the most and had a lot of good years prior to that, but throughout his Cubs tenure, even though he wasn't performing, he still held a very big leadership role on the team. I think Nico can do that. I do. He's not that much younger than Jason Hayward was when he got to Chicago. I think we played the video yesterday about Jed kind of talking about, well, Hap and Nico, but, you know, looking at the Nico side, they're definitely interested in keeping him long-term on an extension. Those talks are still kind of moving along. Don't know if it will happen before the season starts, but I think that's definitely something they're looking at. But you look at Nico, and I think if they can lock him down, keep him as a piece here long-term, considering the fact that he came up in the system, he debuted a few years ago, so he's, even though he's still young, he's a veteran, technically. I think he has the ability to grow into that leadership role that they're kind of, like you said, they're missing right now. They don't really have that. They lost Hayward. Wilson's gone. You know, Kyle is, he can do what he can, but he's a pitcher. He doesn't play every day. Yeah. You know,
the problem is when the pitcher is your potential leader. Well, he's the longest tenure Cub, right? Kyle Hendricks, which usually you think makes somebody a leader. So then another obvious name is Ian Happ, right?
Well, I think Dansby could just automatically jump into that role too, especially after when we had Kelly Kroll on here and she talked about his leadership qualities and everything. I don't know. I don't know how someone can change teams and just automatically gets thrown into that, but he does bring World Series winning experience. He's been in the league longer than a lot of guys on the roster. He's had ups, he's had downs. Like, he understands what it takes to be successful at the major league level. And I think he's kind of, you know, some of his quotes have shown that he wants to be that guy. He says he's all about winning, he's all about the team. And to me, that shows leadership qualities. So,
yeah.
You know, like you said, Jason Hayward clearly wasn't the best player on the team, and he was a leader. Maybe this time it's a little bit of a reverse where the best player on the team is the leader. And Dansby right now, as we sit here and on January 17th, I think he's easily the best player on the team. So,
most expensive.
But definitely most expensive, yes. Yeah. But, you know, I think Nico definitely has the qualities to emerge as 1-2. Mm-hmm. I think those two, one and like 1-2 up the middle, could just be a combination, because those guys show that they want to win. Nico said, you know, during the whole free agent process of getting a shortstop, that he was very open to moving to second base or wherever the team wanted him to play. To me, that shows leadership. That shows that he cares about the team first. And like I said, with everything that Dansby has said, like, to me, both of them can just be 1-1.
Yeah. And I see Craig in the chat mentions Happ, and when I think of just the three of those guys, I think they can all bring leadership in different ways. Like, even we'll play the video, but Nico talked about being maybe less of a vocal leader, more of a show it yourself kind of thing. Dansby may be that more vocal leader, holding people accountable, all that stuff. And then Happ is, as far as position players go, the longest tenured on the Cubs. Like, he knows what it takes to, you know, be a successful big league player at this level. He understands not only the Cubs organization, but just Major League Baseball better than, you know, the business of Major League Baseball better than anyone on the team. I think he brings that, just the knowledge of what it takes to be a big league baseball player. I think he brings that more than anyone on the team. So they can all have their own leadership qualities that are different, but all kind of work in sync. That I think it can help replace what you kind of lost over the last few years since kind of the sell-off and the rebuild and all that stuff started.
Yeah, Ryan got a bunch of interviews at Cubs convention. We're going to play the clip of Nico talking about this role or potentially new role that he may be looking at on this team.
It's a constantly changing thing, and I'm figuring out what that means for me. I appreciate when coaches have asked more from me, honestly. It's nice to have that feedback, and I think what I bring on a daily basis is it's not going to be as vocal as some people, but you know, I do take a lot of pride in knowing my teammates and playing hard, and it's really not that complicated, and it's not coming from a place of, man, I got to really be a leader today. It's just take care of your business and treat people well along the way and go from there.
For you personally, coming off of a successful 22 season, have you spent some time thinking about goals for yourself for this coming year?
Yeah, I think really, really owning second base, I think, is a huge part of this year for me. I've played there in the past. I think shortstop, I spent more time there in my life, so there are parts of second base I think I can really improve at, even though I have played it well. That'll be fun. Andy Green's going to be very demanding of that, and positioning will be different. So that, the new parts of that will be exciting. Offensively in baseball, you ask any hitter, there's always things that they can improve on. It's a challenging thing, and definitely have room for improvement there as well.
What specifically do you have to improve on for second base for yourself?
At second base?
Yeah.
I think turning double plays, just not having done it in a little over a year now, I think part of that also is getting to know the players that you're playing with, and just having comfort. Last year we had a lot of turnover on the infield, obviously, and we did the most that we could, but I think there's some real success that comes from consistency in that lineup and knowing the people around you.
Somebody in the chat pointing out that Nico looks jacked at Cubs convention. He does look like he's a little bit bigger. I thought with the turtleneck look, he looked like he could be in a James Bond movie a little bit, right? He could be the next Jason Bourne if he wanted to. But I don't know. I saw somebody else in the chat. I'm sorry, I missed your name. They said, this is the core. Keep it together. I think the Cubs, if you're asking for a core of the future on the next great Cubs team, it's a different conversation, a slightly different conversation. We know that Dansby Swanson is going to be here for, you know, like 7 years. So he's the one guy we know will be here for a long stretch. So I don't know if that necessarily makes him the automatic leader. I think he naturally is a leader. Like you said, Kelly Kroll told us on the podcast, he's a natural born leader. He's described him as himself as that. I feel like this team is going to be, it's just not going to have that true leader. Now, people may say this is Dansby Swanson's team because of the contract and the amount of years, but I don't think you can dismiss Nico Hoerner, Ian Happ, just because their contracts aren't locked up long-term moving forward. I think they have, for lack of a better term, a leadership committee sort of forming. They've got a bunch of guys that seem like they don't need to be pushed individually.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great trade on a team. If you can get out of the 9 guys that are out there, if you can get 6 or 7 of them that you don't have to say a word to that guy about doing things the right way, about the way they're going through the routine, the way they're going through their off season, about what they need to do for the team and not just for themselves. That's how you build, along with talent and some other things, that's a great way to build a championship team.
Yeah.
And I think this group is starting to show that. And I think Nico, by moving from short to second, started sending that ball rolling downhill. And maybe downhill is the wrong, but picking up momentum. He may have pushed that first domino to say, guys, it isn't about me. I'm willing to do whatever you want. And I know that David Ross has said that last season, that's the type of guy he is. I like everything I hear out of Nico Hoerner. I don't know what season he's going to have, but when I watch what he says and I watch what he did last year, I don't want to go too Brendan Miller on you, but I see a star developing. If his game can catch up to everything that's around him and the way he carries himself, he may not be just a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He has the potential and the makeup to be a great player.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Van Dorn in the chat also points out Suzuki's going to be here for another 4 years too.
That's right.
And he, like, he wasn't at CubsCon, so no one's talking about him. And I am intrigued to see, like, how, you know, year two in the United States and how maybe, I don't know if he can be a leader, especially because he doesn't speak English.
Well, vocal leader. Right. Maybe more of a challenge. Like,
yes. But as far as on the field, for sure, perhaps that he can be one of those guys too, right?
So he might be more like Nico. But he might be a quiet, this is how I do go about my business. Or like a Kyle Hendricks.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think that Nico has the potential to be like how we looked at Anthony Rizzo, you know, for years and years. And that doesn't mean that I think he's going to put up those types of numbers. I'm just saying, just not only someone that fans like, but his teammates like, someone the teammates look up to, someone that everyone, like, just would go through a wall for. And, like, that is, to me, like, that's who the leaders on your team are.
Someone that Dom will scream for Jed to put a C on his chest.
Yes, yes, exactly.
No, I like what you mentioned about the leadership committee, I guess. Yeah, like, for lack of a better term.
If you had to have a committee, well, who would your names be?
Well, it's those three. But I'm even going, taking it a step further. It's like just the group they've built. There are so many different potential guys that bring different leadership qualities to this team. You might have your two or three that stand out. It could be those three of Swanson, Horner, and Hap. But as people have mentioned in the chat, like Yan Gomes, like, yes. They like him for a reason. Every pitcher on the team that talks about him, you know, sings his praises, right? They love him. He brings that leadership in a different way. He's a veteran. He knows how to win. Great clubhouse presence. You know, Tucker Barnhart, kind of same thing. He's new, but he is a good veteran guy. He's documented kind of a good clubhouse presence, knows how to control a pitching staff. Like, they're different things that those guys bring. And then you talk about Cody Bellinger as a former MVP, Eric Hosmer, another documented clubhouse, positive clubhouse presence. You got guys everywhere that they've brought in that at the very least are going to bring good, at the very least they're going to bring good vibes in that clubhouse. Like, they are going to build that culture that is still being built. Those are all pieces. Like, they haven't brought in anyone that you'd be like, like, I wonder how that's going to fit in with this clubhouse culture that David Ross has been cultivating, right? So you might have your two, three, four guys that stand out, but I think every guy they've brought in and a lot of the guys that are already in the clubhouse have those kind of leadership qualities that may not stand out just because they may not be the best player on the team, but obviously work in concert with what the better players do bring. That kind of, when you're building a clubhouse culture, when you're in a rebuild and one of those things is building that culture back up, like, a lot of the guys that they have on this roster are going to be, you know, very positive. Like, move that in the right direction, so to speak.
Yeah, we have a super chat from Fernando saying, it's Saya's team, man of action, not words. CHGO, thumbs up. Appreciate that. Appreciate the super chat.
Shout out to you, Fernando.
You brought up a couple interesting names. Gomes, which I did see and I thought of in the chat. Bellinger's an interesting one because I don't know a lot about his – I haven't heard a lot of people talk about his necessarily leadership qualities. But we talk about Dansby Swanson as the most accomplished because he's won a World Series. Well, guys, Cody Bellinger's won a World Series, and he's also won an MVP. Like, that's a guy whose words, if he's saying the right thing, should carry a lot of weight on that team.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're building, I don't know, Mount Rushmore or group or leadership committee – I just feel like this team potentially has so many good voices. I just want them all pointing in the same direction. It seems like they are. When we talked to Ian Happ, when he came on the podcast before the holidays, right before the blizzard, quote unquote, came, we asked Happ about it. I said, is it better to have one leader, right? Is it better to have that one guy that a team can look to and say, this guy will stand up and we will all listen to him? Or is it better to have a group of guys? And he felt absolutely it was better to have a group of guys that would kind of carry that voice. So it wasn't, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he was speaking about the fact that if one guy's voice, people start to go deaf over that voice for some reason because they hear somebody say something, then the next voice comes in and it might be slightly different, but it might ring true to somebody that needs to hear a message. So this team's I'm not saying World Series. I don't want to pump people up too much about this. I'm just saying defensively, I think they're going to be really good, right? Mm-hmm. Base running, they might be really good. I think pitching is going to be good to very good. It's got some depth. And leadership is there. They may not have the offense, but I think they've got the pieces starting to build in the right direction.
And I think the best example of what we're saying is losing last year, the 10-game losing streak, the near 10-game losing streak that came later, all that losing didn't break the clubhouse. The clubhouse stuck together, kept fighting together, kept fighting for David Ross. It didn't break the clubhouse, and all they've done is add even better clubhouse presences to that clubhouse. So if all that losing last year didn't break them and they stayed in good spirits, they kept fighting, they kept playing for each other, you added not only better clubhouse presences, but you added better players. I think that there's even less likely of a chance that this clubhouse starts cracking if the going gets tough. I think they're still in a spot where long losing streaks could happen. They haven't completely filled up all the holes that affected that roster last year, but I think there's even less of a chance that if that does happen, this clubhouse isn't going to crack under that kind of pressure, because you got a lot of high character guys now filling up this roster, and I think that's as good of an example as you can kind of look at. As like, okay, what they've built in that clubhouse works.
I even think some of the pitchers that we haven't mentioned. I mean, I know you guys mentioned Hendricks. That's only because he's been here for so long, but like, I even think Justin Steele has that potential.
I mean, Keegan, the whole, doing whatever is asked of him. Mm-hmm. Same with Albert Alzolay, like those guys.
Keegan's similar to Nico in that he may accept a different role that might be more beneficial to the team.
Mm-hmm. I think Stroh has a lot of, good leadership qualities, or just being a good teammate. And he's shown that on social media, how much he loves it. Not only how much he likes the Cubs, or obviously, but
goes for his
teammates, and I think he showed that automatically the moment Eric Hosmer signed with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, Smiley was a good presence last year.
They have, like you guys said, like they do have a lot of really good leadership, or just really good people in the house, and that's good. Can it transition to more wins than last season? We're gonna see.
Yeah,
but you'd rather have this situation than a bunch of clubhouse cancers. So. Yeah. Or people who have a reputation of being a clubhouse cancer. So, all in all, I think we can still be a little bit more optimistic about the team's record by the end of the year as we go into, spring training and stuff. Mm-hmm.
A bunch of really good comments in the chat. I think a lot of people are coming up with some good stuff. Sean says the Cubs don't have a lot of egos, which begets leadership. And I really like Brent Montag's as well, saying, what Hayward taught Hap and Nico, et cetera, doesn't go away with him. Nico and Hap especially have retained that, and they are already carrying it forward. That's how it works. I believe that's true. That's where they probably learned leadership from a bunch of different guys. That can go all the way back to high school. That can go back to your parents. That can go back to a college coach. But I do believe that that's where they learned it at the major league level. From some of their former teammates, and certainly Hayward is one of them. I do want, talk about leaders. Green Ridge Farm, there's a leader. Leader in meats, man.
Yeah.
Green Ridge Farm, a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. Makers of all-natural deli meat sausages and their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, happy hour, and school lunches. All-natural meat sticks that are hardwood smoked for 8 hours with 16 grams of protein per stick, making them a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, jalapeno cheddar, and spicy chili. And if you haven't tried them, you don't know what you're missing. Delicious because they're made from recipes that are generations in the making. And being all natural, they deliver a fresh, flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find these meat sticks in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or your local Chicagoland grocery store. And right now, when you order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com, include a pack of meat sticks in your cart. Those meat sticks are free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat, and they are a Chicago company. Why would you get your meat from a company in Wisconsin or Minnesota or somewhere else, another country? No. You can get them right in Chicago. We are the meat capital of the world, man.
You know what else you can get in Chicago? Really cheap tickets to Chicago events.
Bingo.
And how can you do that? With Game Time Tickets.
Boom.
Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line at a Bears game, courtside at the Bulls game, behind home plate at the Cubs or Sox game this upcoming season, floor seats at a concert, Blink-182 in May. I still want to get a ticket to that, but we'll see. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on any Chicago sports event. The site is created by the fans, for the fans. It guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events.
Doug in the chat says, what do y'all think of Bauer? Does the talent outweigh the controversy and clubhouse cancer? The answer is
yes. Wait, no.
No, the answer is no. Clearly no.
Or am I answering that wrong?
Yeah, you're answering it the wrong way.
We just talked about leadership. That would be a perfect reason not to bring Trevor Bauer into the mix. Like, I'm okay.
Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass. That's what I meant to say.
Hard pass. They do not need to sign
him. Also, Paul Sullivan basically reported it over the weekend.
Yeah, no interest.
The Cubs aren't interested.
No interest.
Which is fine.
And still, so far, we haven't heard a lot of. I haven't heard a lot of teams in any buzz around his name. So that'll be interesting.
We talked about it on a show last week. If you go check it out, Doug Van Dorn, or anyone else who didn't check it out. I can't remember which day it was, but I think we were all pretty adamant that that's a bad idea. So
there might be some trades still before spring training. There might be more free agent signings. I kind of wonder if the Trevor Bauer thing, if he's going to get a shot from somebody, and I'm not sold on that. If he's going to get a shot from somebody, I wonder if it might be because there's a major injury to a team that really thinks they can contend, and they're like, all right, we got to do it. We have to take a shot at it. He's that good on the field.
Yeah.
We can't waste our season and let it slip away. I don't know if that's the scenario, but I think it's a little murkier than most people think. I don't think teams are clamoring to get a team that thinks they're going to win the World Series, and the Dodgers say, nah, here's your cash, go away.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to believe that, like, a small market team could go after him, like the A's or the Reds or something like that.
Well, teams like the A's don't need any more bad publicity, if I'm being honest, I just don't like their whole thing of them literally getting like 2,000 fans to games, and that you know, just the backlash from them very likely to trying to sell the team and move it out of Oakland. Like,
what's I'm saying? Like,
they probably don't need any more bad publicity.
They don't need any more, but I mean, they'll do whatever it takes to fix that farm system of theirs or to get prospects. I guess.
So you think maybe it's more of an in-season acquisition, not like before?
Yeah, that's
spring
possible.
Training.
We'll do that. It'll
perhaps
drag on.
Yeah.
So you mentioned missing podcasts. Doug says Dustin said I missed a podcast. No, it was Doug. Hey, you never miss a podcast if you subscribe.
True.
Because then it's easy to go back and check them out too.
If you can't see us live.
So we talked a little bit about leadership, and one of the reasons it's an interesting topic to me is that you have a lot of new faces on this team, and they're not all the young guys yet, right? Like, the next crop of big prospects still is coming, and some of the young guys are starting to filter up, but the Cubs added a lot of veteran faces. Prove-it deals, short deals. It's an interesting mix of guys that they've added. So you got Hosmer, Bellinger, Mancini. We talked about, you know, Barnhart. Which of those guys yesterday was a topic, like, might have the biggest impact? Who has the highest ceiling? Probably Bellinger. But Ian Happ talked about it in a different way. He said this was a different Cubs convention because when he first started coming to them after he was drafted out of Cincinnati, you knew everybody that was going to be there. So let's play the Ian Happ clip that Ryan picked up at Cubs convention, just talking about how this Cubs convention was a different one for Ian Happ because of so many new faces.
It's been awesome. And it's different. It's different. This event was very frequently a meeting of all of your buddies that you've been with for a very long time. Maybe one addition or addition there. And so to see all these faces, obviously guys that played against for a while, but to see all the new faces and their reactions to Chicago, like I said, that's super exciting. And I think that, you know, having been here, you've played in the league for a while and played against these guys. This is the first time in my career I've had an opportunity to then have a bunch of those guys join the team that I'm on and kind of learn from them, pick their brains, get their experience from different organizations. So that'll be exciting.
It's kind of, I never really thought about that. Like a little bit of a meet and greet when we talked to Tucker Barnhart, and we've got some interviews that'll be coming up. In fact, tomorrow we will debut our first one that we sat down with Adbert Alzali, which he was great. But Tucker Barnhart was kind of in his interview, which we'll have in the next couple weeks or so. He actually talked about the fact that he was seeing guys and pitching ideas and trying to pick their brains for the first time just at Cubs convention. And some of the guys actually got together and threw the ball before Cubs convention. Like, they came in a day early and wanted to meet, toss the ball. I think Keegan Thompson was one of those guys. So that he's in town anyway, but that was sort of interesting. You look at the busy offseason the Cubs had, and it really was right away, December 6th, to get the deal with Bellinger. And then we kind of waited. We kept waiting for the shortstops, right?
Yeah.
But Bellinger was the first move. Then you saw them get the pitcher in Tyone on December 7th, just a day later. Then you get Boxberger to the bullpen, which I think is probably the quietest move of the offseason, but could prove to be very, very valuable once we get into the season. Dansby Swanson was the big move, obviously, on the 17th. Tucker Barnhart follows. They re-signed Smiley. You look at those signings in December, they had a busy month of December. And then to carry it into Cubs convention, the deal with Hosmer, and then during Cubs convention, Trey Mancini. But
Simply Silent says Max Strabone was the quietest.
That's true. That's true.
He was a waiver claim, wasn't he?
What about Anthony Kay or whatever?
I think those were all waivers.
Yeah.
Were they
free agent signings?
pretty sure they were waiver claims.
We still might have Chafin.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
Chafin or Matt
Moore.
You
can get a lot of Chafin this time of year. It's cold outside.
Gary mentioned us in the Discord, which if you're not in Discord, you should become a member, a diehard, and join our Discord. He mentioned to us about Chafin. I see it in the chat a lot. Like, they need another reliever. They probably still need to add to the bullpen. That's probably the last kind of little bit of pieces they might add to this team. Considering your main lefty right now is Brandon Hughes, who's on not even technically a full year in the big leagues. Like, a guy like Chafin makes sense to kind of, you know, pair in the back of that bullpen. You know, you got your long guys and Keegan and Alzali, and, you know, maybe Samson ends up starting the season in the bullpen. But you're going to need your back end guys too. Your one inning, one and a third. Chafin fits the bill. I don't know what the price might be, but he
you're gonna have to pay him more than last time.
Yeah, he'd be a solid signing.
And it sounds like, according to Tom Ricketts, if you listen to his interviews, they're not going over the threshold, but they still have space. And I wonder, and I don't know what that number is, but I will say this: a bullpen that would have Boxberger, Chafin, Hughes, from what we saw last year, and then you add in Cody Hoyer at some point this season.
Jeremiah Estrada.
Maybe. Estrada and Alzali and
Thompson.
It's a pretty solid bullpen. It may not have Mariano Rivera there, but you've got, again, a pretty good
group. And Rowan Wick.
Rowan Wick. And while bullpens are very volatile, you don't know what to get year to year, that's a group of guys that I have pretty good confidence. I'd be very, as you were saying last year, the Cubs seem to find a way. This is a bullpen that if it takes shape and they add somebody like Chafin, boy, I'd be very surprised if it didn't turn out to be one of the better bullpens in baseball.
Yeah, I'm not going to be worried about it. Again, like, it doesn't, even if they don't sign Chafin, I'm not going to be worried about it, to be honest with you. Now, I would love for it to happen, one, because he has vibes, and two, because he's good, but I'm whatever about the bullpen. I have full confidence in whatever they do with the bullpen. So
Chafin also had one of the best walkout songs, Roadhouse Blues. My God, it was great. Chafin,
I always loved his videos about his car, or his tweets about his car. Whatever it was.
He also pitched in the last Cubs no-hitter.
He did.
The combined no-hitter right before everything fell apart. So there you go.
And also, like, him walking around with the failed starter obvious shirt is one of the funnier bits a player has had in town.
What was it? Like, everyone compares him to Rod Beck, right?
Yeah.
To Rod Beck. They called him Shooter. And every time I look at him, I think of Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
That's
who you – when you – he doesn't have the personality of Kenny Powers, but he looks like Kenny Powers mixed with Rod Beck.
Well, considering the hair and then the mustache, he looks like he's just like out of the 80s. Like.
He definitely does it on purpose because I've seen a picture of him in the off season, and he looks nothing like this in the off season. He prepares for this. He's built different.
No, I think adding, just in a baseball sense, adding Chafin to this team would help.
Absolutely.
It would solidify that bullpen so much. For but sure. Also, he's a fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see him be fun again on the Cubs.
It'd be nice to have another fun player. Simply Silent Fog with a super chat, $2, saying, there's some Wick dislike. I still believe in him. Are you still good on Wick?
I mean, he was just up and down last year.
Yeah, I'm not out on him.
He was the one in the bullpen last year where you felt anxiety, where you were, like, ready to be hurt again. But we've seen in the past him be one of the top arms in their bullpen. I mean, he was the perfect example of what I've talked about, of the Cubs just putting it together and figuring it out. They got him for nothing, and they've held on to him over the last few years. And, you know, last year he was just kind of – it was a roller coaster. I mean, he'd have good outings, and it was usually when he was closing. And then he had bad outings, and that was usually whenever they bring him in, like, the sixth, seventh inning. It was weird. Like, if he didn't close, then he would have an up-and-down appearance. But if he did close, more often than not, he did good. Yeah. So I don't know where they see his role, because I don't think he should be the closer. I'd love for him to be – middle relief, like late inning setup guy, and if he can get back to how he was in 2020 before he got hurt, like then you're talking about this bullpen really taking that next step of just not only just being good but like really good.
Well, like you mentioned, he had good spurts, had bad outings, had bad stretches last year. He's got good stuff, and if he can just figure out how to utilize it consistently. He could be a solid, again, back-end guy. I don't know that he's the closer. I think last year at this time we were kind of talking about him potentially being the closer of this team. I mean, not last time. We weren't around a year ago at this time. But preseason, we were kind of talking about closers. He was in that conversation. David Robertson was in that conversation. Even Givens was a part of that. But he didn't have the year that could have potentially won him that closer spot. But he does have good stuff. And if he could be consistent, I mean – at this point, you have very few guys that you don't feel like great about. He might be one of them, but if he can start the season and be consistent, I mean, you kind of feel pretty good about anyone David Ross might bring out of the bullpen, which wasn't necessarily the case in like the summer, after the trade deadline.
Yeah, and there'll be some guys in Iowa that will come up and be solid. I don't know if they'll be on the team long term, but they'll be solid. I mean, no one thought we'd get what we got out of Brandon Hughes last year.
No, that's true.
And now we're looking at him as like a back end reliever. So, I'm pretty confident in whatever they're going to do. But yeah, adding Chafin would be great. And I don't think Wick is going to hold this team back. I'm just intrigued to see how they use him. His role is very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Teaser on tomorrow's podcast. I think you'll find it fascinating and interesting what Adbert Alzolay thinks about potential roles in the bullpen. He's got some interesting things to say about not only the Cubs pitching staff, but specifically the bullpen and where guys could line up and maybe want to line up. So that's coming on the podcast tomorrow? Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday. I keep saying Wednesday.
We do have another Thursday. Super chat.
I'm jumping. Oh, we got another one?
Yeah, Fernando again.
Oh,
y'all
Fernando.
World Baseball Classic opinions.
Y'all watching World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, I mean, I find it more interesting than Cactus League.
Yeah, the spring training games. I am interested in the World Baseball Classic. Again, we talked about it, I think, last week, just how it's for baseball. It's the World Cup for baseball. It's obviously not as big as the World Cup, but that's kind of the level this tournament is, and all the best players in the world generally play in this tournament. I mean, USA's team's stacked. I don't remember exactly what the Dominicans team looks like, but I'm sure it's stacked. But it's like every country is going to have awesome players on it. So who wouldn't want to watch those guys play like meaningful baseball games instead of Cactus League or, whatever other leagues there are in spring training? And just, the spring training games are more about the process than the results. The World Baseball Classic is actual competitive baseball. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Colada, you see him?
I hope America wins.
See Colada dogging us. He says, you guys gave everyone in the bullpen a B+ last year.
Not true.
I'm not worried.
It's not true. Though.
We'll see, Collada. We'll see. So we went through that list of transactions. One of them that was on there was Eric Hosmer. We thought that was the end of that type of player that they would add. But then, of course, we got, just a couple days ago, a two-year deal with Trey Mancini. And it looks like that is an early season platoon between the two at first base. Maybe Mancini goes to DH sometimes if Mervis comes up. We don't know how it'll all work out. But one thing we know is that Hosmer can really flash the leather at first base. So the defense is going to be great, and you hope you get the Hosmer that has been a productive hitter at the major league level. We have some sound with him. Again, Ryan got this at Cubs convention. Let's hear from Eric Hosmer on why he decided to sign specifically with the Cubs.
Yeah, you learn a lot. You know, it was a crazy situation, you know, when you really don't expect to get traded and you get traded and then went to Boston, wanted to do well there, ended up getting hurt, wasn't able to perform the way I wanted to. And, you know, then getting released and then picked up over here, it's kind of like a new life. And, you know, you really just make the most, you want to make the most of every opportunity. And for this opportunity, for me personally, I feel like it's a great one, you know, to play at Wrigley Field every day, to understand you're going to be, you know, for the Chicago Cubs. And the main thing everyone says, especially around the league, is when you play at Wrigley Field, it feels like the state championship every game. You know, it's just a different energy. It's a different atmosphere. And, you know, that, and got to see the locker room and all that. And that's unbelievable what they did for that. So everything just seems really well over here. Everything seems like it's going to be a blast and just a good spot.
I mean, between Dansby, Nico, and now Hosmer, do they have the all-hair infield?
Seems like it.
Seems like they have the all. And then I watched that sports, look at that sports jacket, and I think to myself, that, Kevin was saying, wow, nice sport coat. The first thing that popped in my mind was Zach Morris would wear that on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
That looks like that. Something preppy would come out in
yeah.
and, you know, try and hit on Kelly Kapowski in.
I think that's a jacket Pat Hughes would wear in the booth.
Yes.
I could see him wearing something like that.
With a striped sweater yeah. and potentially some sort of polka-dotted tie underneath it maybe as well.
I like it. I'm sure Corey would appreciate that too.
What do you think of the Hosmer signing in general and how he fits now with Mancini also on the team?
I think that it's just good depth. And that's as far as I can take it. I think there's obviously, you know, a little bit of optimism on him being a productive player. I mean, the guy gets on base, doesn't hit his home run total has dropped since his best years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good teammate. Everyone mm-hmm. says that. I think, you know, but at this point, I just think he's really good depth and kind of the insurance that we talked about that the Cubs needed if Matt, that way there wasn't pressure on Matt Mervis. So I think there's potential that Hosmer doesn't finish the year with the Cubs, but I also think that he could finish the year with the Cubs if he plays well. Like
less than $1 million.
Yeah. Like his time with the Cubs will be dictated on how mm-hmm. good he is. And that's it, man. And he knows it. I mean, he's being paid by two teams to play with the Cubs. I mean,
yeah.
It is what it is. And I'm rooting for him. I want him to be good. I want him to be a serviceable player for the Cubs. But, like, we just can't get it twisted, man. Like, it was definitely like an insurance. And that's, you know, there was reason for me to be a little pessimistic at first because we all sat here and thought that them signing Hosmer meant that they were done on the first base market. And now that they added Mancini, at least there's other options there. And, like, to me, that's all I care about with that situation.
Yeah, well, and then, I mean, just the fact that it's the league minimum, $720,000. Like, it's if he struggles and Matt Mervis is destroyed, because I think we're kind of under the assumption now that Matt Mervis probably starts the season in AAA. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't make sense to me to carry all three of them if they somehow, I mean, you know, they're better baseball minds than me, so that maybe they somehow figure it out and in a way we're not thinking about. But to me, the expectation for me is that Matt Mervis starts the season in AAA. But if you get into the season, Matt Mervis is still mashing. He has nothing left to prove in AAA. He's ready to come up. And Hosmer is struggling. Like, that contract is not hard to get out of. It's not hard to just cut ties with Eric Hosmer, whatever you have to do to get him off the team. I mean, that is why the signing never, I never got the negative side of that signing, because it's like, sure, he has didn't have the best year. He hasn't lived up to that contract he signed in San Diego. But the Cubs aren't paying him anything. They're not taking on that. How much is left on that contract? $40 million, something like that?
Yeah.
The Cubs aren't taking that on. They're taking on the bare minimum. So why, like, I never understood why people were so negative about this deal. It's a player who, hey, maybe he succeeds and bounce back, or he he's bad, and then they can just cut ties with him and not spend that much money.
Or all three are good, and you have the best case scenario.
Right.
Like
that
if Mancini and Hosmer are able to bounce back and play well, and then Mervis starts pushing from the minor leagues because he's just too good there, that's the best case scenario. You could trade either one of the other two guys.
It's a good problem.
Super easy to trade Hosmer, especially with that contract.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason that people were upset about, or at least negative about the Hosmer deal, was that no one thought that they're going to still be in on Mancini after it. If you would have told me that they're still going to be in on Mancini after they signed Hosmer, then I've been like, all right, cool, we got good depth. But I think we all thought that they were out on Mancini after that signing. And again, the only reason that I was negative or pessimistic about it is just the Cubs needed some bats, man. Like, I don't care. You're not paying them anything, but you needed some power to go with a lot of the contact you have in this lineup. They needed more power, in my opinion. And they got it getting Mancini. So now whatever you get out of Hosmer, honestly, is kind of like an added bonus. It really is if you think about it in the grand scheme of things. So, again, I hope Jed looks like a genius with this one. I'll come on this podcast. I'll tell all 200 people watching, I'm sorry, I was wrong, because I'm wrong all the time. So.
I just never thought it was a negative signing. I think at worst, it's like you break even on it.
I'll tell you why. Only negativity that should come from Cubs fans on the signing of Hosmer is what's expected, and you see a little bit of it in the chat. It still goes back to the Rizzo thing. I've moved on from Anthony Rizzo as a Cubs player. To me, I think the day he signed, we said this, like, if you really look at what you're getting for the price you're getting, you're paying for it, there's zero risk, there's zero worry. He's not blocking anybody. He brings a good glove. You might get a bonus out of him offensively.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be upset about Hosmer. There's zero reason. If you want to be mad that he's not Rizzo, I can't tell you how to cub, but that's just not what I'm – There are other reasons Anthony Rizzo decided he was not going to be here.
The only thing that's going to make people feel better about the Rizzo thing is if, one, Mervis turns out to be good, and two, if Alcantara turns out to be great in 2 years or another year.
Yes, even more so.
The Cubs fans need those two things to happen, and they can move on from Anthony Rizzo.
I still don't think it'll happen. I think people will be mad about it.
Becky, he'll always be a Cub, but he is not a current Cub.
Yeah.
And that's the way you have to look at Anthony Rizzo.
That's how I'm going to feel about it, at least. Like, because on one hand, like, I'm with them, because all they had to do was pay the guy a little bit more money, and then you didn't even have the hole at first base to begin with. And you had your leader, your quote-unquote captain, going through the next, you know, this rebuild process. You wouldn't have had to deal with this. Like, so on one hand, like, I understand. But on the other hand, yeah, like, he was older. You knew you were going to have to change your direction. You had to, you know, rebuild the farm system because the farm system was in shambles. So there's give and take on both sides. So, like, I hear him.
Look at last season. Cody said it on Twitter. Rivas and Schwindel, have they improved from Rivas and Schwindel to a group of Mancini could play there, Bellinger can play there, Hosmer can play there, and Mervis can play there. You get at least, Aggie put Patrick Wisdom if you want in the mix, but you got like four guys. I like that possibility more, and for the price they paid, more than I like what they had last year. Guys, same. Derek Lee wasn't available in free agency. If Derek Lee was there and I could say, you know what, they could dump $150 million into their next great first baseman or $170 million into their next great first baseman for the next, he wasn't there. Rizzo didn't want to come back. Rizzo wanted to stay with the Yankees, and he's not the type of free agent they're looking at right now.
Yeah.
These guys are a lot cheaper and aren't blocking anybody. If you would have re-signed Rizzo, there are other reasons I'll say that he's not here. Okay, so we're moving on. And that's the way it's going to be.
I was only explaining.
Everybody liked Rizzo when he was here. He's not coming back.
And I get it. Like, I'm ready to move on, too. I've said it many times. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah,
I hope
keep bringing him up.
I
brought him up.
Did you bring him up this time?
I didn't bring him up.
Fair enough.
Because the chat will not stop about it. And Wolf Designs is right. He says, Hosmer is a better option than Rivas or Frank. Yes, Hosmer alone at less than $1 million is better than having Frank Schwindel and Rivas, period.
I'll say
Hosmer by himself is better than those two guys.
Yes.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Schwindel's in he's not even in America right now. He's not even playing in America.
I think Sean said it in the chat. He was saying, also, there's nothing wrong with taking the pressure off of Mervis. Yeah, he made a huge jump last year. There's no reason to sit there and say, hey, Mervis, we think we can compete for the division and the wild card, and we're going to need you to go from literally the middle of development at the minor league levels to you're our everyday first baseman, and you're going to need to prove it. By the way, good luck. Mm-hmm. Go get him, kid. This takes that pressure off him. If there was any, he might want it, but I'm just saying he doesn't have to. All right. Speaking of pressure, when I feel the pressure, the need to go get sports merchandise that I really want to get for a family member, and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to get so-and-so for their birthday or the Christmas holiday? Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite teams. You're fitted out with the best sports gear around. Foco's got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north side, south side, hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. You can get decked out like tomorrow with the apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, Foco. Looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, Foco's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. Check out Foco.com or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. You know what we should probably do next time I do this ad read? We should go to Foco and see the one thing we'd like to buy that maybe we didn't expect to see at Foco.com. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if the Matt Schwarmer bobblehead is still there.
Is the Swarm Dog bobblehead still there?
Cubs legend, man.
What kind of deal could we get it to put it right here on the set?
Right.
So people, we could play Guess That Bobblehead. That would be kind of fun, right?
That actually would be
Start buying up random bobbleheads and put tape over the person's name and be like, guess the bobblehead.
Guess the
bobblehead.
Yeah.
It might be a segment. We got a lot of time to fill during the season.
Yeah, we got a lot of time to fill. We can also, we can play some bags here in the office during the season because you know how those games go sometimes. Oh, hopefully they're a lot shorter this year, though. We can play with our set, the Made by Chi-Town Cornhole, one of my favorite brands that we support here at CHGO. The number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Our signature box-style design can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. Our cornhole boards come with built-in drink holders recessed in and on the back, LEDs that light up the hole, and exterior handles for easy carrying and handcrafted scorekeepers, veteran-owned and operated. We can ship anywhere and offer local pickups, specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event, wedding gifts, and gifts for all occasions, and especially for tailgaters and backyard barbecues. Go check out their website, chitowncornhole.com. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards. They're also on Twitter, and they tagged me in yet another Illinois tweet last night. God bless you, Tom. God bless you.
thanks to our guy, Vinny Duber, CHGO Sox over there. We've got a little early crossed. Look, he's waving over there.
Hi, Vinny.
Back from another of his fabulous vacations that we all live vicariously through Vinny.
Now, how many vacations does he go on?
From Australia, right?
He was in Australia for like 3 months. But
he's finally back.
And now he's been walking around the office. G'day. Everybody's
nice.
G'day. What's
must
up, mate? Everybody's mate now. And it's just like, we get it. You went to Australia. We know.
Must be nice to leave the country. IPAs. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, Cody's stuck on this. Land.
G'day.
I actually just went and got renewed my passport, so hopefully I get it. If I got mine before Cody's, that'd be something. But
you just went through the process.
Yeah, it's
if morning. You get it before Cody, that would be just.
Maybe yours got lost in the mail.
Well, you might need it for that London series
summer. That's why I did it.
There you go.
I expected Cody's to show up literally today.
Still, I still don't. Yeah, I still don't know.
Did the Bulls guys give you crap for that?
No, thankfully they did not. They have a heart. So I appreciate it.
This must have to do with like CIA, Homeland Security or something. They're worried that like Cody is.
They're watching him.
He's just too big on Twitter and they're not sure exactly what he is yet. They're like, the vibe around this guy is just a little too buzzy for us.
Too buzzy.
All right. So Vinny talked to Dylan Cease, former Cubs prospect. Let's not talk about the trade ever again. It happened. Okay. Dylan Cease shoved last year. We saw it. Now, Dylan Cease, I say Cubs Sox is getting more interesting. Last year, we had to kind of take it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you're in the heart of a rebuild and they're trying to be a team that's trying to win the World Series, not successfully, but they tried. Mm-hmm. Not very well, but they tried. I think you've got a bit of a buzz going between the two teams. I'm not sure who's going to win more games this year. I think that's even a possibility.
Their over-under is 84.5.
But Vinny, out of nowhere, put two and two together and asked Dylan Cease about one of the Cubs' new players. Here it is.
Do you know Dansby Swanson? The new Cubs guy, obviously grew up in the Atlanta area. You know, he's in town now. Do you know him? Did you face him in high school, anything like that?
I don't know him personally, but funny enough, my first varsity pitching outing, my sophomore year, I closed against Marietta High School, and I did face Dansby. That's back when he was a switch hitter.
Well, and what was the outcome?
He popped up the center field, but I got to say, and I hate to be this guy, I threw one right down the middle that was called a ball that would have been a strikeout. Wow. I'll tell you what, I'll send you the clip if I can find it.
You've got it on video.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh my goodness. So we can dig this up when the robot umps come along in however many years, you can rectify that in some fashion.
Yeah, we'll send it to Mythbusters and we'll have them prove that the ball was in fact over the plate.
There you go. Hey, you got a chance now to make up for it, to set history straight now, because you'll be seeing them in Crosstown for what, six times this year.
Yeah, ball doesn't lie.
Paul doesn't lie. Okay, for those of you that are listening, will be listening to this podcast just on regular download podcast form and didn't watch it on YouTube, you've got to go back and look at the YouTube, because A, you have to see Dansby Swanson batting left-handed against Dylan Cease in high school. Great video find. And then you've got to see Dylan Cease riding a llama during this interview. Does it not look like he's riding a llama? He's sort of bouncing up and down the whole time, back and forth, and he has this shaggy, like, llama chair that he's sitting in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just thought he had some wild-ass furniture.
Right?
Yeah, that's how I thought.
It looked like one of those memory foam, like, couch pillow things that you sit on. You ever, like, the oversized beanbag chairs?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
yeah. That.
I guarantee you this is one of those Crate and Barrel specials or Pottery Barn, yeah, where it's stuck away for some absurd amount of money. Some chairs like $3,000, and it's not real llama, but it's like it's supposed to look all chic and whatever. It looks comfortable.
Yeah.
But he's sort of rocking like Kramer used to with the Kenny Rogers Roasters. He's just kind of like bouncing in his chair. Hey, that's the first shot on Crosstown, guys. What is today's date? The 17th?
The 17th of January.
17th of January, and the first shot in the Crosstown has been fired. Dylan Cease calling out Dansby Swanson.
Who would have thought?
And by the way, who in the chat said this? I think it was Sean said, inside. Looked inside. Was not a strike.
Isn't it crazy that those guys can, like, remember specific? I was talking with Lawrence about this. Like, the specific pitch he threw. He was left-handed, like, against, like, you know how many thousands of batters?
Well, he said he was a sophomore. It was his first varsity season, and Dansby was probably clearly the star of the other team and probably the talk of the area.
That
right?
is fair.
Maybe.
For sure, yeah.
He just was the number one overall pitch was.
He remembered who when he faced Dansby Swanson.
I wonder who their bullpen catcher was. Could have been me.
Now, was he saying it was a relief appearance? Is that what he said?
He said it was his first varsity start.
He closed it out.
Thumbs up from Vinny.
Stay out of Cubs business, Sean.
First varsity appearance, then.
Thumbs up from Vinny, just back from Australia.
Yeah, we want to thank our mate Vinny Duber.
Our mate.
For coming through with that sound. Anyways, I thought it was kind of a fun bite, and thanks to Lawrence for putting the video find together.
That was good.
Matching the
thanks, Lawrence.
I know we have like 1 minute, but someone tweeted us a trade proposal. Can we go through it like really quick?
What is it?
All right.
See it. Yeah, sure.
Shout out to Ron Sochacki. I don't know.
How do you spell it?
S-O-C-H-A-C-K-I.
S-O-C-H.
Yeah, I think you got it right. That sounded right to me.
I'm sorry. Anyway, he says.
Ron S.
He said, Ron S. We'll call him Ron S. Hearing your podcast with some of your guys confused about how getting Mancini doesn't make sense. That's a shot at Ryan. Wanted to read it.
Sure.
Madrigal taking reps at third. Add up the pieces, fellas. Guys are definitely getting traded. I'd propose Alzolay, McKinstry, and Madrigal for Matt Chapman.
I don't think that's going to get Matt Chapman.
No way.
I don't like speculating on what trades could be, because who knows what other teams want in a trade. Who knows how other teams value or evaluate specific Cubs players. I think if you want to throw them out, great. I mean, personally, I don't think that gets it done, but I have no idea what other teams want for a trade for Madrigal, whoever it is.
Now, Chapman would be a nice addition to the Cubs. Yeah, if you could find a way to make Chapman a Cub at third base, yes, that would be good. I don't know.
He's been a 4-WAR player the last 4 years. Even in 2020.
Was it Madrigal and Thompson? Was the
McKinstry. No, Madrigal, McKinstry, and Alzolay.
And Alzolay.
I think you're definitely going to have to throw in, like, maybe if you throw in Thompson or Morel, one of those two, maybe the Jays come back with a counter offer. But, like, those three, like, this guy's – he's overvaluing Alzolay here, in my opinion.
Well, but maybe McKinstry. Out of that group, I like Alzolay.
Apparently, the other two. According to, like, rumors – teams are calling the Cubs asking for McKinstry right now. So but his value isn't very high, and neither is Madrigal's, and that's why it's like this isn't going to get it done.
This would only make sense
if the Jays just wanted to move on for some reason, you know what I mean?
I can't see them not getting a better offer than that.
They would definitely get a better offer. I mean, his batting average was .229 last year, but the shift's gone. 27 homers the last 2 years. Play 150 games the last 2 years each. So, yeah, like, this guy's definitely worth a lot more than just those three.
Then guys that either weren't, that were hurt all season, didn't play that well when they were on the Cubs, or are just kind of unknown. Something. Yeah. I don't know.
I think any trade the Cubs make that's going to involve Thompson or Morel.
I bet there is a trade before the start of the season. That's all I'll say. I don't know what that trade's going to be or who it's going to be for. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat live on YouTube. Appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you give us the likes, the 5 stars. We appreciate it all. 4-star doesn't cut it. That's like a slap in the face. 5-star only, please. And we will see you back here, of course, on Wednesday and Thursday as well. 120 right here, CHGO Sports. We appreciate it. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Until Wednesday, fly the W. Have a great day.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.